Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Hopefully you are just coming off of a really great, refreshing, energizing weekend. A great week ahead of us, and lots of stuff to cover. This is The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Yes, good morning to you. Good morning to all of you Christian patriots out there, and welcome to Monochromatic Monday, where God's truth is black and white. Oh, and you know, just right off the bat, because it's Monochromatic Monday, I have been waiting so long, the whole weekend, to share this information with you guys out there, because I heard the most atrocious thing. I mean, this is demonic.
Oh,
and
tell
so,
me more.
Okay, so here's how this goes. They're talking about how churches are now, I mean, evangelical churches all across the nation are trying to push this transgender support,
oh, yeah,
right, in their churches. And so here is the devil working into the details of this.
Yeah.
So how they're justifying this is that they read in Genesis 1:27 how it says that the Lord made man in his image and he made them male and female, right? Well, so the church says, well, it's not, you don't take that literally, because what he's actually trying to show, what God is actually trying to show us, is that he made night and he made day, and then he made, you know, the sun and then the moon. And so they're saying there were opposites, but what he's really trying to show us across creation is that it's a spectrum. We have to look at it as a spectrum. Tell me if this doesn't sound like the devil himself, right? And so here's how they delineate this. They say it has to be looked at across the whole context of what God is trying to show us, because yes, there is a dark, I mean, you know, there is a night and a day, but there is also a dawn and a dusk. And so this is the evil workings of the devil trying to weasel his way in and destroy what is absolutely black and white. And so they're trying to insert all of these gray, ambiguous areas into God's word that don't exist. And so,
wow.
I mean, it's like listening to the most skilled attorney. You know what I mean?
Right.
The most deceptive underminer of God's word. And so I was just so appalled by that they're twisting and turning it that hard. And so yeah, that just really, really got me, especially since we talk about how God is absolutely black and white. There's
right.
What he says is fact. It's truth. And
he made them man,
yes,
and woman.
Yep. That's right. And there's no in between. I mean, there's the occasional rare, you know, it's like a mutation, you know,
right,
that is super, super rare.
Yeah.
And so that's not what these people are talking about. They're talking about, I feel like a guy today, I feel like a girl tomorrow. That is not gray.
Actually,
that is not black and white. You know what I mean? So
that is actually in the medical field, that's called gender dysphoria. And it is a mental disorder.
Yes, that's right.
And now, of course, a lot of these World Health Organizations and others, they're trying to, you know, frantically trying to change the definition of that to remove that gender dysphoria. It's where you're a man and you think you're a woman,
right,
and then you want to go through surgery to, you know, make yourself a woman. And it really comes down to biologically, scientifically, it's X chromosomes,
yeah,
and
it's
Y
in your chromosomes.
Chromosomes.
You cannot change those.
Right.
Period.
Right. And so for that to be creeping into the church, that's alarming. Of course, there's a lot of alarming things that are creeping into the church.
That's right.
And, you know, there's going to be a great falling away. And
yep.
departing from faith, departing from truth, and it's going to become blaringly obvious to anyone with discernment and the Holy Spirit to know which is truth and which is the lie, which is
right, which is insane and which is normal.
Right, right, exactly. You know,
and that's the truth of it. And like you've said so many times, this insanity, like this gay marriage and stuff, these people are asking you to pretend along with them that's really an actual covenant. It's a real covenant. That is not a real covenant. God defined marriage as one man, one woman, and it's meant to be that way because that is the order of God's structure and of all society, basically. In fact, I heard a statement not too long ago that said, as is marriage, so is society, right? So from the micro to the macro perception, it remains true and also is order from the smallest to the biggest. So, yeah.
Well, it's the atom of a nation. I mean, it is the nucleus.
That's right.
Of a nation. It's the smallest form of government that there is, the family, you know, and that was designed by God. It's very clear. So, you know, anything that is contradictory to the word of God, there's your litmus test right there.
Right.
Whether or not it's something you think you could support or whatnot. So, you know, this is and we have friends that have children that are going through this. The whole family's going through this. It's just tearing families apart.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's exactly what that does. That's, absolutely.
They don't talk about the suicide rate and the health issues that come along.
The health
with
issues
all of
and
that.
how families are seriously destroyed. I mean, they are cast asunder in some of the worst ways. And so, it's, we can hate the sin, love the sinner, right?
Yep.
So,
yep. And stand against it. And just like anything else, I mean, if they had parades for stealing or parades for cheating on your spouse, proudly waving banners, trying to institutionalize adultery or stealing or murder or, you know, anything else, we would stand against it.
Right.
And, it's a sin. It's a sin issue. It's something that's made very clear. And so when churches are accepting of this or making excuses for it and allowing that, the churches should be protecting their congregations from this. You go fix yourself. And when you're ready, we'll be here for you. And we'll take you in. We'll love you. And we'll help you as much as we can. But while you are living in sin, you can't be here.
That's right.
You know, and the saying or bumper sticker, or you know, the meme that you see out there, come as you are, you know.
Come in, and then when you come out, you understand that you are going to stop doing what you're doing.
Right. Jesus took people as they were, and then he told them, "Repent. Don't do that anymore.
Repent. Go and sin no more." Yep.
Right. Exactly. So as long as that's in the church, in the body of Christ, you're going to have. It needs to be cut out. Like, it's a cancer. It is something that you cannot have in the body of believers.
That's right.
For their own protection.
Right.
And for the good of the person who is not repenting.
Right.
You know, so, that's how you love your brother. You protect them from that.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's you're not doing anybody any favors by playing along with something that is harming them and will harm them in the eternal life, right?
Right.
Because it's not allowed in God's kingdom. And so once they repent, he's happy to forgive them. All the angels sing. It sounds like heaven erupts in joy over one repentant sinner.
Yep.
And so that is how you love your brother. You stop them from harming themselves, and you become that block. I mean, we are called to do that. We are called to rebuke our brother and sister in love.
Right.
Who we see stumbling, because when you see them stumbling, You don't just go, oh, it's okay, keep on, I'll support you. That's not loving them. Right. That's actually a meaner thing to do to them. And so,
and it's unkind and unloving to do to your congregation by allowing that type of any type of sinful lifestyle to remain in right. in your church. That's the opposite of loving your brother.
Well, it's the whole
to point. Everyone else in the congregation.
It's the whole point of going to church is so that you can gain victory over your sin and
right.
stop sinning and become closer to the Lord and get your life going on the narrow path, right?
Right?
And so that's, I mean, that is the whole point.
Yep. All right. So we are at the point now where we are going into the word of the day. I'm looking forward to that. I know you're going to have something really good for us.
Yes. Yes. And this has, well, of course, the word of God has just tons of long commandment written all throughout. And so this is, again, continuation of the conversation seems to be from last week as we were talking so much about the law and the judges who are acting lawlessly currently in both our nation and apparently in Israel as well. It's like
we'll talk about that later.
But anyway, so as a continuation of the conversation with the Lord about the law, the word of the day comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, which read, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And that's it.
Wow.
And so, and
pretty straightforward.
You know,
that's coming from Christ.
It is, absolutely. And you know, there's you can read the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 17. And I don't know if you, I mean, I could go over the Ten Commandments real quickly if you want. What do you think?
Why
just
not?
Just briefly? Okay, so.
We could direct the readers there, or we could read it to them.
That's right. Well, maybe somebody just needs a brush up, right?
Okay.
So the first one is, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." The second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments." The third commandment, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." The fourth commandment, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And by the way, just for clarification, the seventh day, if you look up in the dictionary, the seventh day is Saturday.
Yeah.
The
first, which is what Sabbat means.
Shabbat. Yep.
Shabbat.
Sabbath. And so the first day is actually Sunday. So then we have the fifth commandment. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." The sixth commandment, "You shall not murder." Seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." The eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." The ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And the tenth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." And there they are.
Wow. That I'm glad you actually read that, because, you know, we think of the Ten Commandments of, you know, like my, what might be hanging on the wall at a government. Well, it used to be. Right. But it used to be, you know, in front
it
of
all an American government building.
Right? Yeah. All the courthouses had the Ten Commandments, but they didn't elaborate. They were very short. You know, there shall not have any gods before me. Right. The fourth commandment, you know, the honor
the Sabbath,
keep the Sabbath
and keep it holy,
right? And then just like period,
yeah.
But each of these are, well, except for you get into like the sixth through the eighth, those are straightforward. Don't murder, don't commit adultery. Those, boom, there's like nothing further needs to be explained,
right?
But the others, I've never really paid much attention to the explanation that went behind them, and it's actually part of, it's written in to the Word of God.
Yep.
And so that's interesting. And yeah, the more studying that I've done about like the fourth commandment,
yes,
the Sabbath, you know, I've, of course we're not Jewish, we're not Seventh-day Adventist or anything like that, but
we're Ten Commandments keepers.
Right. Yeah. And this has been for me, since you've come into my life in the last, you know, couple of years, this has been a difficult transition for me, because of just our culture, but it makes sense. So, well, we're not under the law anymore. Well, it's just, thou shalt not murder. I mean, I could think of a whole list of people that needs to go, right? then what's wrong with committing adultery if we're not under the law anymore?
That's right. You know,
just coveting or stealing, bearing false witness, lying.
Right.
All of this kind of stuff should be fine.
Right.
You know, so I guess when you take all of that, it's not okay now, since we're not under the law, to start worshiping little idols and have totem poles or, you know, other pagan stuff that we worship in our homes. That's not okay. That's never been okay.
Right.
And the other thing, so that makes sense on the Sabbath. And I never really knew the backstory about how that got switched to Sundays.
Right.
You know, and that was, maybe we'll talk about that sometime, but, you know, fascinating.
Yeah. In fact, maybe we could discuss that tomorrow a little bit, because it is not, the Sabbath day issue is not a biblical one. It's a historical one that caused the day to change. It actually, after the Bible was written, that was when the Sabbath day changed to a Sunday, according to Constantine in like 324, I believe, 324.
Right, the early church were keeping, I mean, their Sabbath was, it wasn't Sunday potluck, was Saturday.
It was Saturday, right. Yep, that's right. And so Constantine is the one that changed that date by law. And so a lot of people aren't aware of that, and they try to justify keeping Sunday as the seventh day, but that's not the case.
It's actually quite the deception.
Yeah,
really,
big time. Yeah.
To get people to depart from that.
Right.
Because, you know, when Christ comes back, he comes back with a sword.
Right.
And there's all kinds of wickedness and evil taking place. And everything in the Ten Commandments are being violated. You know, so why would he be coming back to deal with wickedness and unlawfulness, those that are just absolutely violating all of the commandments that God gave and Jesus gave, and Jesus reinforced? He didn't say, I'm getting rid of the law.
Yeah, I didn't come to get rid of it. I came to fulfill it.
Right. So this, it kind of goes back to address the issue of, well, we're under grace now, which we are. We're saved by grace. But that doesn't mean it's a free for all. The liberty, you know, even Paul said, you know, God forbid that you'd use your liberties for just to live, you know, sinfully.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
And that's when Jesus comes back. He comes back to square everyone away, because they're acting lawless. They're acting wickedly. They're acting evil.
Right.
So it doesn't seem like even in the future, Jesus takes the commandments lightly. He tells us to follow his commandments.
Yep, that's right.
You know, so
I think the importance of this verse that we just read is, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And that means all 10, not 9. We're not 9 commandments keepers. We're 10 commandments keepers.
Right.
And so it says right there, there is going to be a dividing line between.
So you'll those still people. Find people that are teaching that in heaven, but they will be called the least.
Well,
heaven.
Yeah. Once they get to heaven, they're going to have the least. They're going to be called the least.
Hmm.
So yeah. how unfortunate that most people don't know about the historical reason behind
yeah, well,
the change.
Constantine became a Christian, you know? But he was really ruling. He had a significant Christian population.
Right.
But the majority of them were pagan. And
that's right.
Sunday was that's our day off. So yeah. He tried to, you know,
worship
keep
of the sun god.
Right.
Yeah.
So he tried keeping everybody happy. Let's pick a day. It doesn't matter as long as you find a day.
Well, and the thing was they had just made Christianity the legal religion, right?
Right.
And so what was happening was everybody was then confused. I mean, like his whole population was going to church both Saturday and Sunday. And they said, we can't keep up with this.
Right.
This is too much.
Yeah.
We're going all weekend, basically. And so they said, you're going to have to pick it. Are we going to keep the Jewish day or our Sunday? And Constantine went with our Sunday. And so that was that. The Bible itself had never changed. Constantine changed it.
Right. A single ruler.
Yep.
Said, I hereby declare.
It was a man that changed it, not God. Yeah. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, that would be like a ruler, a Caesar, saying, okay, the commandment says thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say you can't commit adultery unless the other spouse is okay with it. You don't get to do that, right? You don't get to say, you can't murder unless you're really, really.
Unless you get somebody else to say it's okay for you to do that.
Yeah, they cut you off in traffic, then it's okay.
Yeah, right.
But, fascinating.
Yep.
Yeah, going a little bit deeper there. So thanks for sharing that.
Yes, pretty cool.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break and wind down segment 1. Segment 1 brought to you by Prepping 2.0. Get your preps together because swarms of earthquakes we're tracking right now all up and down the West Coast. Not sure what that's going to turn into. But, hey, if you've just got your basic preps, you want to take it to the next level, then check out the podcasts over there at Prepping 2.0 with Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. And the website is prepping2-0.com, and we'll be back right after this message.
Hi, my name is Hilde Smets. I'm a Belgian medical doctor, and I'd like to say that the new COVID-19 vaccine is not safe and that there is no global medical pandemic. For almost 20 years, the pharmaceutical industry has been trying to develop corona vaccines, but never managed, because they saw in the animal trials that there were serious side effects, autoimmune disorders, when the animal was exposed to a new wild-type virus. These autoimmune disorders are comparable with the complications we have seen in some COVID-19 patients.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
Welcome back to a short segment 2. God bless you guys. Thank you for being out there. Thank you for your support, for your prayers. Thank you for those of you who have sent financial gifts to help support us and help offset the costs. We're really grateful for that, and we just really appreciate you guys all being out there. Hey, don't forget to put the Red Pill Festival on your calendar, July 24th. That's a Saturday, July 24th in St. Regis, Montana. That's just 33 miles east of the Idaho-Montana border, right on I-90 there. So lots of great speakers lined up. You won't want to miss it. All right, Lady Liberty, segment two here. We've got a bunch of stuff we're going to rapid fire through.
Okay, sounds great. And yes, welcome back to Monochromatic Monday, where the truth of God is black and white. And so we've got some really peculiar things happening with vaccines, and people are onto this. I mean, obviously they're worried because people are dying. All the, you know, quite a large percentage of animals being tested with the vaccine are dying at 40 yep. to 50% rates within a year. And some of the test subjects that, I mean, some of the tests that they've run, all the animals have died. So people are on to them.
All However, of Fauci's stuff is coming unraveled.
That's right. And as it should be, because that's a death vaccine as far as I'm concerned. What if a year from now, 40 to 50% of those people are dead?
He says, attacks on me are an attack on science. You fraud.
Yep, that's right.
Somebody needs to bury him.
I know, exactly. Well, so here
in legal, in lawsuits.
Right. Yeah, that's
we're in,
right.
We're in
there,
radio.
There's a legal way to do this. And so the response from West Virginia and Ohio is really bizarre. West Virginia is giving away custom guns and $1 million as COVID-19 vaccination incentives.
What?
Yes, seriously, listen to this.
That's the wrong demographic.
I know.
That's someone who doesn't know their audience.
I know. Exactly. Those people don't use guns. So, but they do like free money. So
there you go. Okay. So okay. Tell us more.
So West Virginians who get a COVID-19 vaccination will be entered into sweepstakes to win custom guns or $1 million, Governor Jim Justice announced on Tuesday. He says, we're going to give 5 custom hunting rifles and 5 custom hunting shotguns away on Father's Day. And also on Father's Day, we're going to make one of you a millionaire. We're going to give away $1 million to somebody on Father's Day, Justice, a Republican, told a press conference. And then they're not the only ones. So Ohio is following right in their footsteps. Ohio vaccination rate surges after they offer 5 different $1 million lottery options if they get vaccinated.
Creepy.
And so this shows how bad the vaccine is.
I've never seen such a freakishly outlandish campaign to push vaccines on people.
I know.
For the same death rate as the flu. I mean,
yep.
Wow.
I know.
Weird.
It's insane.
All right. Well, we're out of time, guys. You be safe out there. Join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. right here for the morning commute.
Have a marvelous monochromatic Monday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.